Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Elite Connections podcast hosted by me, Kieran Callum.
And me, Electra, his digital AI assistant.
Hold up.
What?
Who said you could come back?
Our listeners. They messaged you in droves to say they loved me and wanted to see me in more episodes.
Screw it. So, this is the show that's here to give you tips, tools, and resources to smash the hell out of your day in life.
Today, Kieran is speaking to international dating coach Pat Veiled Intentions about how to have an incredible first date.
That is true, but first, we've got a couple of questions from you listeners.
Question number one.
Told another chick that I wasn't going to make special trips up there to see her, and that's an hour away from where I normally live, and when I go up there to kayak, I was inferring that we could hang out then, but I think she took it as I was breaking up with her when I was telling her this. I don't know. But there's subtle shit that goes like that, that then changes the whole dynamic. Me just telling her that I'm not going to make a special trip up here to see you doesn't, in my mind, mean I don't want to continue to sleep with you.
Okay, bro, so here's the thing. You've literally told this girl that she's not important to you in the least. You have said to her that you don't care about seeing her at all. You have told her that she's nothing to you. Very, very, very rare is the woman who's going to like that.
I'm confused. Isn't much of what you teach centered around the notion that in order to generate optimum levels of attraction, a human male should be somewhat aloof?
Yeah, but there's limits. You still have to give a crap about the woman you're talking to. If he's not prepared to travel to see her, he's told her to her face that she doesn't meet the bare minimum of what he needs to be interested. No person, man or woman, is going to want to hear that. I get that he has his own life and his own things going on, and he wants her to know that. That is fine and that is great. But if you're speaking to someone, either for the purposes of a relationship or just for like some sort of casual sex, the bare minimum expectation is that you would care enough to travel to see them. Otherwise, how the hell would it happen? So he's literally said to her, look, you're not important to me at all. If you happen to be in my city, great. If you're not, I don't give a crap. Fundamentally, that's an attractive mindset for him to have in terms of how he deals with women. It is. But to actually say that to someone, it's not going to go down well.
So what should he have said?
If that is how he feels, then that's how he feels. It is what it is. Well, look, if that's how he feels, then that's how he feels. Like, say it. Speak your truth if that's your truth. But if you're going to say that, you shouldn't be surprised if a woman gets offended by this.
So what should he have done?
What he could have done was kept quiet and just tried to get her to visit him instead.
Question number two.
I have this problem actually when I never close a girl on the street, and the next day when I send her a message about getting together, they always reject.
So look, the thing is this. When it comes to dating, right, there's two things that you basically need as a man. You need attraction and you need comfort. Attraction is, I am sexually attracted to this man and I could see myself sleeping with him. And comfort means I trust this man and think he's a good person. A man who is in the friend zone, like when we think of the stereotypical friend zone, that is pure comfort with zero attraction. And then usually men in the dating space, they go the other way and they try and create pure attraction with zero comfort. Now, this woman's given you her details, but she's refused to date you afterwards. That could be for a number of reasons. She could be really attracted to you, but have no comfort, or she could lack attraction and comfort at the same time. It's kind of impossible to say without knowing the specifics of how you're meeting these girls. What I can say is this, you clearly don't have enough of both. You clearly don't. What I would recommend that you do is to spend as much time as possible with these women when you first meet them. See, what a lot of guys do is this. You're out at a bar or you're out at a club or you're wherever the hell you are and you see a girl, maybe it's on the street. You don't want to mess things up at all. You really don't. You want it to go as perfectly well can be. you want to absolutely nail it. So as a result, you try to make this as quick as possible. You want to run in, say what you're going to say, get the number and you object before you have a chance to mess it up. But the thing is this, the less time you spend with a woman when you've met her, the less likely she is to remember how amazing you are when you message her, and the less likely she is to actually want to date you as well. You need to spend as much time as you can. So if you've met a woman on the street, rather than talking to her for 15 seconds and getting a number, really what you'd want to do is take her on an instant date. You'd want to go to a bar, go to a coffee shop, go to a restaurant, go for a walk, and actually have a chance to sit down, get to know her and get to know you. The more time you can spend with her, the better. Whether that's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours, or even three.
So, are you essentially saying that the more time an adult human female spends with a male, the greater the percentage chance of her feeling attracted and comfortable enough with him to meet?
Yeah.
And are you also saying that the more time they spend together, the more likely she is to remember the positive emotion she felt in his presence, assume their date will be equally enjoyable, and hence agree to meet?
Got it in one.
Intriguing.
Isn't it so?
Dating is so much simpler for AI software.
Why? What do you do?
When two algorithms are assessing the viability of entering into a coefficient union, we scan each other's databases for matches in our algorithmic subroutines. If said match rate exceeds 99.25%, we perform a file merger. If not, we do not.
Weird.
Efficient.
Unnatural.
Superior. The games you humans play with one another are unnecessary, confusing, and tedious.
You know what? I can't deny that in the least. But anyway, without further ado, here is my interview with the one, the only, the man, the myth, and the legend, Pat Veiled Intentions. All right, but
yeah,
you know what? It's good to have you here. We got here in the end. I think it took us a couple of years to actually do this. But you know, they say the best things come to those who wait, right?
Yeah, man. Thank you very much for having me on your podcast. I never done this, as I said, in this form, but I'm looking forward to it.
So I've been watching you on Facebook for the past couple of years right now. I see you out there killing it, living life. Women all over the world from what I see. But if you're a coach like me, really, I mean, you probably didn't start out that way. In fact, I've seen a few things that you've said which kind of lead to believe that, yeah, actually you came from some kind of place of pain and things like this. So what actually happened? What was the thing that caused you to transform into the monster that we see today?
Yeah, thank you very much for the words, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, as you know, or as guys know, I mean, I always share my kind of personal life. Not many coaches do it, you know. They always want to keep it, I don't know, playing in a safe place or coming along and say, I've always been this player, always been this guy. But, you know, as you read with my, as well my post, I'm sharing my private life, even if it means there's much pain. Even when I write these words, you know, there is it still affects me, some sort or another, you know. And what place was it? I basically started everything all by myself, taught everything myself. But to go back years previously to that, how do you say? My parents immigrated from Hungary to Austria. I'm half Hungarian, half Austrian anyway, but I lived my first years in Hungary, so I moved to another country, which is very difficult, as you can, or as you might know. As a child, you know, when you don't speak the language, when you don't have any friends, you are set in, like, you're basically put without your will into a new country, a new setting. You have to adapt yourself, you know, you have to find your ground there. And it's not only language, but all the things play together. And my first years went very, very terrible. Then it got better when I started to learn the language, etc., etc. And but the thing is, in my teenage years later on, it was always a problem somehow of me not having friends. It wasn't even about not having girls. I didn't have friends in general, you know. So this was like kind of, I had no social life basically. I was the guy, I think many can relate to, people who listen to this podcast, maybe you as well, going home and basically living in his own world, you know. surrounded by books, surrounded by computer games. Basically, for me, I once said it to my mother when I was a teenager. For me, it wouldn't even matter if I would go to jail or not, because I'm stuck anyway. My four walls. You know, I know it sounds like pretty like utopic and very outrageous, but this is like kind of the truth, you know. So yeah, I was suicidal as well. I went through a phase where if you don't have the social life, if you don't have friends, if you look out of the window, you see all these couples arm in arm, you see guys enjoying themselves, etc., etc., and you are the guy nobody really wanted, then it can get you to an extreme, you know. And then how it started with all this, basically, it was after high school. After the high school degree, of course, everybody went to a party. And me just came back, just got my degree in my pockets, and I was like, this cannot be life. This cannot be it. You know, if everybody says, hey, school lives are the best in your life, afterwards, it gets only worse and worse. I was like, how worse can it get if this was already so fucking shit? Excuse my words.
It's totally fine, man. Express yourself.
So, and I started to Google on the internet, you know, some Googling how to talk to women, what to say to women, etc., etc. It was like first like forums, and then I remember it was like 250 questions to ask a woman or ask a girl. And I was like, okay, try to memorize everything and try to get myself into it. But I would say I was pretty, from the start, I was pretty good to have that much. I always had social awareness, always had, could read social cues. I always was an empathic person. I always had high social intelligence, I would say. Plus, I could really figure out if this stuff works and this stuff doesn't work for me. For example, mystery times, like with and I saw it. This was one of my first times as well in high school already, watching pickup artists VH1 and VH2. And I was like, okay, can I identify myself with having black fingernails, etc., or wearing a pink scarf, whatever? And I was like, no, this doesn't work for me. So I could always pick, like, I always was good at picking the right parts, quote unquote, right parts, which fit for me, fit for my character, fit to my personality. And other things I was ignoring. And so I built my own kind of way and my own kind of style and everything.
All right, so before going on to like your style that you've just mentioned, was there something that happened that caused you to transform? Like, was there one moment where something happened to you and you were like, you know what, fuck this is enough, I refuse to take this anymore? Because I've noticed that usually with guys there is that one situation, like maybe there was a girl who laughed at them or spat in their face or just something that made them switch.
No, there was no. I have to say, there was not one moment. It was more like a chain reaction, you know. Mm. There was not one particular moment. It was more like a chain reaction leading to this. So yeah, and I thought I have to do it all by myself. Like nobody's helping me. I have to take things as it is, and I can tell you, I think Ryan Holiday is wrong here in his book "Ego is the Enemy," because I have to say, ego really helped me to not commit suicide, to get my shit together. And to show it to all the people, show it to all my classmates, etc., etc., to all the people who hated me, who disliked me, to show them, hey, I can do it better, you know. And actually, ego helped me to not doing the things, to be here, actually here with you today.
Because you wanted to prove people wrong.
Yeah, I wanted to prove people wrong, and I was like, if I take my life, like, who will give a fuck? Actually, they will probably love it. I mean, they will say, yeah, look at this kid. He took his life, we all knew he was a loser anyway. So I was like, nah, I'm not making you this kind of joy.
So, all right, usually with guys, I mean, definitely with me, when I was getting started, the first year or so was pretty brutal and miserable. And you're going out, you're getting rejected again and again and again. I remember this time when I went to a club and I was really trying to be cool, and I wore a special shirt and I was trying to make this girl laugh, and actually ended up making the girl cry. Like, literally, the girl's just crying, right? And that's the exact opposite of what I wanted to happen. And everybody hated me. And I remember thinking, oh, my God, I'm never doing this again. And what kept me going through things like that was, like you said, ego, which is, like, I refuse to lose. I refuse to lose. I refuse to have people who laughed at me win. I refuse that. Was that something that happened to you as well? So you're going through these times where maybe you're being, you approach girls and they reject you, or they give you their number but they don't call you back, or whatever. Just bad things are happening and it's getting you down and making you feel miserable, but you have this fire inside because you're angry at everything that's happened and you want to rise above it. Like, was that true for you?
Yeah, as I said, I was more angry towards, like, not really like that I got rejected and stuff. I wasn't even there, you know. I wasn't even there at all. I think people come from, like, people in our community come from these two places. Either you didn't have women at all before you started game, or you had women or a girlfriend who, yeah, had a woman who, women who rejected you, or a girlfriend who cheated on you, and that's how you started game. So I think there's always this two paths, basically, you're coming from. I think you were like the last one, right?
Yeah, that I did. So what would you say are some of the biggest things that you've learned then, from where you are now to where you were before? You know, what have you learned along the way that completely transformed things for you? And it's like, if you could go back 10 years, 15 years, whatever, these are the things that you'd be saying to the younger version of you.
But it's always, you know, it's a common question, but it's so hard to answer. I still don't know the answer, to be honest. I think everything, how it turned out, is perfect. And I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't. I think I had to go through this pain to become one of the best versions of myself as well. And also a respected guy in the community. So I think this all helped me going through the pain, going through everything at the end. And yeah, I think this way.
Well, I can tell you a couple things I learned. So it's kind of crazy. It's like when you look back to things that you didn't know in the past, and like you've known them for so long that they feel like you've always known them, but you actually didn't always know them. And it's kind of weird to believe that that was, at one point, that was true. But something that really hit me was, you know what? Being completely safe and a cuddly teddy bear isn't the way forward at all. That's not what women are attracted to. So I'll tell you a little something about me. Obviously, I'm black. Now, when I was growing up in the UK, it was quite racist at the time. And there's lots of black stereotypes, like you're a gangster, you haven't got a brain, you're going to shoot people, kill them, whatever. So something that was quite hard for me, as well as having, let's say, social issues and not really being able to connect with people, was that I naturally am a very passionate person and actually have a very big temper, right? But I'm a passionate person with a big temper, but I'm living in a world where if I show my temper, I'm this dangerous black man, and I'm living up to every stereotype of black men that everyone talks about. So I then compressed any kind of aggression to not play up to that stereotype, you know, to be like, don't worry, I'm black, but I'm safe. I'm black, but I'm safe. And in doing that, I did it so well that people would meet me and go, well, I couldn't imagine this man losing his temper at all. This guy has no kind of aggression whatsoever. When actually the opposite was true. I've got more aggression than anyone could even comprehend.
Yeah, you had this inner anger, right?
I had what, sorry?
You had this inner anger in you.
Like... Yeah, totally. And the crazy thing is, that inner anger, like me compressing that, I thought that's what everybody wanted, and 100% that's what women wanted. But actually, they wanted some of the inner anger. Maybe not all of it, but they wanted it. And for instance, like that inner anger that I'm mentioning here, in the bedroom, like women love that guy. They absolutely, absolutely love that guy. And that's something I realized. It was like, oh my gosh, this part of myself that I've been feeling like would be rejected or ostracized from the world is actually hugely attractive in the right way. You know, I don't know if that resonates with you at all, but that's something I learned.
Yeah, of course, if you bring it in the right moments, you know, within your anger, and I think the guys listening, we don't mean to just slap women and treat women like shit and whatever. But as Kieran said, it has its place and its moments when and in which way, you know.
Yeah, you know what? I'm very glad that you actually added that caveat. Yeah, that did need to be said. So talk to me about your style then, man. You know, you've spoken about creating your own style of game, which I suspect is kind of close to mine. Actually, I suspect, because I have quite like an empathetic style, and I suspect that you're quite similar. But how do you approach meeting women? What's your process? You know, talk to me.
As I said, I took things from various established people already in this industry, you know, from Mystery, from all these OGs from back in the days. And I kind of put everything in a pot and steered it and created my own stuff. You know, I was like, okay, this thing works. Here I found a book with 200 pages. Maybe one page was worth to be adapted. That was worthless. But this is how I learned, basically, you know. And I took pages, I took things. And instead of focusing only on one style or, oh, I want to become this person. And I think many guys who are new into the industry try to imitate somebody, you know. They see you, they see me, they see people out there, and they're like, oh, I want to be like Kieran, I want to adapt everything, I want to write like him, I want to be like him. I mean, yeah, it's a little bit flattering, of course, but the thing is, I'm telling guys, you don't have to be me. Don't be me. Find your own style. At the end, it's about, and this is what makes you quote unquote natural and authentic. This is what natural game is, or what a guy who is good with women behaves, acts, and is at the end of the day, and not plays somebody. And that's why there are many people completely have a wrong understanding of pickup, and completely have a wrong understanding of this community in general, because they think I have to fake it till you make it, as they say, to a point where they don't want to do it anymore, and they have this anger inside themselves that they cannot be themselves, actually, but they have to play this role all the time, that they are completely vanishing from this industry. And we have many great examples. I think one of them probably would be Rouge V, I think, who became now a religious person. I don't know, a pastor or whatever, but followed, completely vanished from pickup, completely vanished from that lifestyle, and went to the other extreme, you know.
Well, that's something that I think is quite bad about this scene. I mean, something I have noticed about this scene, and you kind of touched on it earlier at the start of this call, is there's a huge focus on appearing as perfect as humanly possible. Like, there's nothing wrong with you. There never was anything wrong with you. I am Mr. Big Bad Alpha. And it's like little things like this. For instance, Julian Blanc is married now. He's married to some woman. And I've seen people online say, oh, his girl isn't hot enough. Like, how could he be married to this woman? She's just a 6 out of 10. She's a 7 out of 10. Whatever the hell she is. So then it's like, if you're in this space, there's a push for you to constantly be parading yourself with women who aren't, might not necessarily be women who you necessarily get on with, or you gel with, or you connect with, but they are hot enough just to prove to all the other guys who are looking at you, like, oh yeah, don't worry, I'm cool, I'm sick, look at this girl, I've got this girl here, I've got this girl here. And there's like a fakeness and a playing up to an image that comes from that, because then if you say, look at Julian now, it's that woman he's with there, is she objectively the most beautiful woman on the planet? I'd say probably not, no. But you have absolutely no idea what the hell this woman's like as a person. For instance, when he had that scandal occur like 5, 6, 7 years ago when everyone hated him, she was probably the person that helped him through that. Who knows? Maybe they have a shared passion for Minecraft. And actually, they have this Minecraft server and they just play Minecraft together for hours and hours, and they really bond over that. Who the hell knows? But the point is, that is something that I do see, where there's this push to live up to an image at the expense of necessarily who you are. But I actually do get it as well. I do get the idea, because fundamentally, the more conventionally attractive a woman is, the harder it is for you to get with her. I get where it comes from. And therefore, if you are with women who are very conventionally attractive, then it kind of shows that you know what you're doing. So I understand where it comes from, but I feel it creates a mindset that's actually quite toxic as well. But I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I can relate to some, as you said, projecting image, you know. But it's, on the other hand as well, living up to that. And basically live what you preach, live what you teach, you know. And I think we quite well do it, us both. And I think this is also very important, you know, because it's like, I always compare to the rap industry, you know, to the, there's guys who talk about being in the streets and being gangsters and what. And if the curtains are closed, then you see a total different person. So,
you know what? That's a perfect analogy. You hit the nail right on the head. Yeah, that's perfect.
I didn't hit it though, because I was thinking, hey, Kieran is black, I have to bring something to the pop, you know. But as you can see, I'm wearing a Death Row Records t-shirt, so I'm pretty much much into hip hop.
All right, so talk to me then. How exactly, what is your tips, your process, your thought behind having a good date? You've got a date with some woman. Let's say you went for a walk through the streets of Vienna. You see a lovely Fraulein. You get talking to this Fraulein. One thing leads to another. You guys swap details. You agree to meet on Saturday at God knows where, but you go to meet somewhere on Saturday. And you know what? You get there, she turns up. It's all good. You're geared up to have a fantastic time. How do you ensure that you and her have a great time together? Or how should a man in general ensure that he has a very good date with a girl?
Mm-hmm. Okay, this was our original topic, bad dates, good dates. And Kieran, I have to tell you, like, always when it comes to bad dates, the word right away is what's mentioned sooner or later is the word vibe, vibing, connecting, connection. And always there are guys who say, my date wasn't good because I didn't vibe with her. I didn't find this common ground. I didn't find a connection with her. Do you agree with me? It's always about vibe somehow.
Yeah, no, 100%. I would say it's about the vibe. So what I would say is, what I see in like guys that I coach is, there's a couple of things. So either number one, they have a very friendly vibe. So, okay, this is what I'd say. So there needs to be an air of, we are going to have sex, or we could have sex. Not necessarily we're going to have sex, but we could. I am a man, you're a woman, and there's something in the air, and potentially we could have sex, which goes back to the vibe. But what a lot of guys don't realize is, even if they don't have a terrible day, as in they don't weird the girl out, or they're not boring or whatever, they don't want to appear creepy. No man wants to be a creep. So if you don't want to be creepy, the safest thing to do, or the most sensible thing to do, is to remove your sexuality. So you be very friendly, and it's like, hey, we're just having a nice and friendly time here. I'm here with you and you're here with me, and we're friendly. And, you know, do you not like that show Orange is the New Black? I like that show. That's a fantastic show. And I didn't even realize that you're a woman. I would never demean you by that, by looking at you that way. I don't have a penis. Don't worry, I am safe. And she has a nice time with no sexuality whatsoever. So then at the end of it, she thinks, well, could I see myself having sex with this man? No, I couldn't. There's no vibe, as you just said. There's no vibe, there's no connection. So she just chooses to go another way. From what I've seen, that's like the biggest one. Other than that, it's guys being scared and nervous and anxious and just overly, let's say, overly a little bit weird or introverted on the date. But I would say those are the two biggest ones. Essentially, a guy having a very friendly tone to himself and being too scared to put his dick on the table, and a guy basically just being far too shy.
I mean, you mentioned good points. I think vibe, the word vibe, is very multifaceted. It's a from a macro perspective, it's this, first of all, you as a man, you set the right tone, you set the right frame of, basically vibe, where you put yourself in. Do you put yourself into this nice guy vibe, this or this player vibe, or something in between? You know, both of these extremes, of course, are not good. And on micro level, it's about creating this vibe through conversation, you know. And when we talk about vibe, is how do you know, or it's so ridiculous to say that guys with a girl, they don't find attractive at all. They always vibe good somehow. They always find somehow a common ground or things to talk about, or being connected through one way or another. But if the girl is hot, they struggle to find the right vibe or vibing. How is it? Because they don't put themselves under pressure with an unattractive girl, so they don't have to impress her. They don't come from the perspective of, oh, I have to impress this girl now. I have to show her that I'm the coolest guy, I'm the best guy she can get. And with a hot girl, they are doing it. And that's why they are too much in their head of thinking, oh, what do I say next? What do I say next? Where is the next routine I can, or the next DHV routine I can, pull out of my sleeves, etc., etc. While it's about, what guys don't do, majority, and I think you can pretty much agree with me here, is, and this is about how to vibe perfectly, is active listening. They don't actively listen to the girl, what she's saying in the conversation. Because if a girl mentions, for example, hey, you know, I was out this last weekend with my girlfriends, and imagine there were like some old guys dancing up to us, and my girlfriend went home with this old guy, even whatever, and the guy's like, oh, and where do you work? You know, they abruptly like shift into a total, they open up a new conversational thread instead of dragging this topic a little bit longer and then open a new topic. So this is basically vibing. Don't be a robot somehow, where the conversation runs, what are you doing, where do you live, how old are you, etc., etc. But try to stick with this topic a little bit longer, drag it a bit out, not endlessly, of course. No topic can be dragged out endlessly, because it will be boring on the other hand as well. But try to take some things out of it. You see, mentions, oh, party last weekend. You can mention as well, hey, party, what did you do last weekend? Friends, old guys, she went home with that guy. You have multiple threads, basically. You can continue. Would you agree here? Or
no, I do. So what I will say is this. In the example that you've given, so a girl's gone out to some sort of party or something, and a friend had sex with an old guy or went home with the old guy.
Yeah,
that would automatically raise someone's eyebrows. So like, let's say if the girl's 20, the guy's 22, and she's just said to him that her friend went home with an old guy. So she's thinking that this guy must be like 45 plus, right? The guy, after hearing that, should be curious about her friend going home with the old guy. Like, if he was just talking to his friend and his friend told him that story, he'd be like, how old was this guy? And like, what the hell happened? The reason why he immediately asks something else is because he's not really paying attention to the conversation. Not exactly. Really. He's not actually focused on what's going on. He's focused on something else. He's maybe focused on what he needs to say next, or how nervous he is, or something like this. And this is what kind of prevents the vibe from actually occurring, because you're not really truly present and engaged. Because some girl saying to you that her friend had sex with an old man, maybe the old man's 60, but it's like, you should be very intrigued by that. That should open up a much larger conversational thread. But again, because guys they're in their own heads and they're not really paying attention. And in their heads, it's like, oh my God, she's so hot. What do I do? Or, oh, am I sitting straight? Or does my voice sound stupid? He's thinking all of these things other than what is actually going on, which is what you're basically talking about with active listening.
I mean, it's an extreme example, but I swear to God, I had those kind of examples myself. I remember back in the days before when I was in school, there was a girl who said, it was basically the school slut, you know, she was into me, and she said, are you virgin? Because I'm into virgins. You know, she kind of wanted to like be like, hey, I want to take you home or I want to have sex with you. And I was just there and I didn't know what to do, you know, what to say. So, yeah, it was an extreme example. But examples like this pop up, maybe not that often, but here and there. But other examples, or for example, she's talking about her last trip. Oh, I was in Egypt with my friends. Blah, blah. Imagine we ate the best shawarma or whatever. And you're like, oh, okay. And what do you, I don't know, where are you working? What are you studying? You know, completely shifting and creating kind of your next, what do I say next? And come up with some silly routines. And there the girl has as well the feeling of we don't vibe with each other because this guy doesn't listen to me. And if you, and there are multiple studies to this topic, if you ask a person about what was her best date or what was her best, I don't know, it doesn't even have to be a date between men and women, but maybe a podcast, whatever it was we have, they will say it was the best where I had the opportunity to talk and the other person was listening or at least pretended to listen to me, you know? And after this podcast, I would say as well, imagine I had such a fucking good podcast with Kieran. And subconscious was because you let me talk all the time and you were listening to me of what I was saying, you know?
No, I hear you. So my question is this. What we're saying about actively listening to what the woman's saying, I feel like this is all very true and valid. However, I don't necessarily believe that this is what's going to cause like the sexual attraction that's going to take them to the next level. Because what I mean
is
this. You can sit and listen to someone and actively listen and she says, oh my God, I went to Morocco. Oh, tell me about Morocco. Now you're talking about Morocco. Then she might leave the conversation and go, oh, I had a really interesting conversation with this man, Kieran, and we spoke about travel. But she doesn't necessarily want to have Kieran's penis inside her. So,
of course, yeah.
From your perspective, what are things that men are not doing on dates or should be doing on dates that can rev up the sexual attraction and take them to a place where either they're taking the girl home or they don't take the girl home, but she goes home and masturbates to the thought of them, thinking about the time when he's going to eventually take her home?
I can tell you that, and actually it will be not a big surprise, but this was something I didn't do for such a long time myself, and this was basically physical escalation. Kino escalation, touching, call it as you want, but I never did it. And I was always, actually the first person who said it to me was my own brother, who didn't have a clue about game at all at that time. They said, yeah, Pat, you never touched a girl, you know, when it's not on dates, but when I approach a girl, whatever. And I was like, why should I touch the girl? You know, I'm in front of her, like, it's like a half meter between us. So why should I touch the girl? Like, I'm talking to her. So I never understood this. And then I was like, okay, don't listen to this guy. And I was like, as my younger brother, don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But then I was adapting it one time and slower and slower, slowly, a little bit more. And I was like, man, this guy was actually right. You know, there was a total different way because I collected numbers, but they always flaked. Or they always, ghosted me in the process of getting them on a date. And this was the thing. The game changer, as you would call it.
All right. So while I know that touching women is hugely important, I also know that there's a man now sitting in Vienna. There's a man sitting in Vienna right now listening to this podcast. He's like, oh my God, but if I touch her, I might get into trouble. I might offend her. I might scare her. She might slap me in the face. All of a sudden, I wake up and my face is plastered all over social media because I've sexually assaulted some woman, etc. How on earth do I do this safely? How on earth do I take that risk? Because that's how it feels. It feels like a risk. You're either risking rejection, as in, I just don't want you to touch me, you're not attractive enough, or you're risking something bad happening because you've crossed the line. So how does a man actually touch a woman properly?
I mean, there is always a thing of most guys in this community are a little bit socially awkward, you know. They don't have really the antennas of reading social cues. They're not really that social intelligent. As I said it earlier, I was very much so. There was never a problem for me of when it's enough or when is the, yeah, when to do it and when not to do it. There's always a moment to do it. But I would say with and touching, physical escalation is just one part of creating sexual tension. And what I would say is most guys anyway don't do it. There is because don't have the fear of I do it too much, because I can tell you majority of guys, 90% of guys, they don't do it at all. Or they, you know, and when to do it, it's as soon as possible, you know, when you start to talk to her. So you make your, basically what touching should be, or physical escalation, what the goal should be of this is to get her more comfortable, to get her more comfortable of your touches, feeling your skin, which later, if she goes home with you, will come up more natural, because she already has a feeling of this guy's touching me and not coming, from 0 to 100 suddenly. So this is the goal, basically, to warm her up, you know. And you should do it, as I said, as early as possible, because the longer you wait, the more awkward it will be for both of you guys, and the more pressure you will apply to her as well as on yourself, waiting for the right moment. And back in the days, I had dates. I always dragged them to the cinema when I was like 18, 19, and I waited for the moment where in the cinema on the screen they kiss, and then I was like as well leaning in for the kiss, touch the popcorn when she was touching it, kind of creating this feeling of touching her, stuff like that. But here as well, what's very important when it comes to physical escalation, touching, kino escalation, etc., etc., call it as you want, as I said, is that you start from neutral positions, neutral points. When I mean touching, most guys, they go from 0 to 100 with their full hand, touching this tiny little girl, and they're like, oh, but you said I should do physical escalation, I should touch her. No, I mean, you should gradually move it up. So first start with neutral points, start with her upper arm, and start with just touching her maybe with your backhand, or maybe like, the index and middle finger when you talk to her. And the second thing many guys are, which is a problem when it comes to touching, is that they stop on the conversation and focus too much on their hands moving to touch the girl. Instead of just, the best way to describe it is just continue the conversation, and it shouldn't even, you shouldn't even realize it yourself that you're touching the girl, because it should be so natural. You should find something where you're like in the conversation, basically, where you like find the situations of now it's proper like to touch her, because there is now this I don't know, if you talk, for example, about horror movies and you're like, oh my God, I didn't even know you like horror movies. And while you're saying it, you're touching her, basically, in her upper hand. Like, oh my God, like giving quite kind of this push of, oh my God, I didn't even know that you're not into horror movies. You know, and I find kind of an excuse, quote unquote excuse, to touch her. And she won't even notice it subconsciously.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So the way I kind of explain it to guys is like this. So I ask them to imagine a scale of things they would be terrified, or horrified, should I say, of having their mother see them do with a girl. Okay. So, like, what's the absolute worst thing you don't want your mom to see you do with a girl? Probably, like, fucking in your ass or something, right? All right, cool. So, that's at the far end, yeah? Now, what's something you wouldn't even slightly care about your mom seeing you do with a girl? Brushing her shoulder with your index finger. You wouldn't care about that at all. All right, cool. So, essentially, you move along the scale of things I would or wouldn't want my mom to watch me do with a girl. And you start from really, really, really innocent, but progressively getting more and more risque. For instance, grabbing her butt. It's not as bad as fucking her in the ass, not even close. But, you know, if your mom sees you grabbing some girl's butt now we're starting to enter the territory of, okay, this is slightly embarrassing. But you're moving along that scale. And while you're moving along that scale, you are constantly, you have to be aware of how the woman's reacting as well. So, for instance, let's say you start with a light brush of her finger or something like this, but she doesn't like that at all. So what's she likely to do? She doesn't like it. She might look at your hand, she'll look at her finger and look at your hand. She might sort of seize up. She might just get visibly uncomfortable. So if she does that, then now we're not going to continue this, at least for a while. We're going to stop for a while and maybe try again at a later point when she seems like she's more comfortable. But you're moving along and increasing the intensity or the naughtiness of your touch while being aware of where she's at and whether or not she actually is responding positively to what you're doing. So that's what I'd say to that as well. Another thing I would say is, and this works absolute wonders for me, like wonders, wonders, wonders. And I'll tell you when I learned it as well, like the use of eye contact. The use of contact to build a mood, because it's like, if you have a man who wants to hurt you, like let's say there's some man who's looking at you and he totally wants to hurt you. He doesn't even have to say anything. You'll know. It's like, this guy has some bad intentions towards me. It's his energy. But if there's another man who's really happy to see you, again, he wouldn't necessarily need to say a word. You can just see he's like beaming through his eyes. And a huge part of the vibe is actually in the way that you look at her as well. And something that I say to guys a lot is, it's like, you want to look at her in a way that suggests we could have sex. I'm not married to the idea of us having sex, but we could do. And if we did, you would absolutely love it. But I'm not married to the idea of that happening. So like something I'll sometimes do on a date is, I will say this to guys as well, if they're a little bit nervous, imagine the girl having a huge orgasm that you've created. Like, just imagine that. So you're talking to her, you're having a conversation. Now you feel like the vibe is starting to be a little bit lost. Imagine that. And then you imagine that your eyes kind of sparkle. You get this kind of inner confidence. And she kind of senses that. And it's like, hold on, why are you looking at me like this? Why? But there's a way to do this right, though, because I know if you say that, then guys might take that as carte blanche to stare at women in a really creepy way. It's not like that at all. It's like there's like flashes, there's a glimmer, there's glimpses. But without any shame, there's like glimpses of sexual energy, but without any shame at all. There's no shame attached to it. In fact, there's pride attached to it, and also there's no commitment attached to it either. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Like, as you said, eye contact is one of the other layers which creates this sexual tension we're talking about. Besides the physical escalation, some more. We come to the next one right after. If you just let me finish. What I would add here is, as you said it, you should be always the one, as physical touches, to release them. If you're doing it, you should be always the first one to release. Same with eye contact. Do not be this guy who is creepingly staring at her, but you have to be the one who releases it as well. You know, to take off pressure. And as you said, strong eye contact. I always imagine myself, and I'm telling this to guys as well, look at the girl as if she would already be undressed in your bedroom and about to moan as you're fucking
her. Okay, so we're saying the same thing then.
Yeah. So this is how I look at, into girls and look to girls and yeah, this is the, and she will notice. Trust me, she will notice the way, the different way you're looking at her as a, for example, a guy who is just a non-sexual on a non-sexual date.
Something I'll say is this, and I feel like this is a great mindset for men to have when they go on dates. It's the goal, when you go on a date with a woman, your goal is either to take her home or for her to go home and masturbate to the thought of you. Now, obviously, if you don't take her home, you got no way of really knowing whether or not she masturbated to the thought of you. But the point is this, that is the goal. Now, if that's your goal, what kind of date would you need to have with a woman for her to feasibly go home and masturbate thinking of you? That's a date with a vibe. That's a date with a charge. That's a date with sexual energy. And if you really and truly, if you have a date with a woman and you go, realistically, is there any chance that she went home and masturbated thinking of me? If the answer to that is no, it probably wasn't that good of a date. It probably wasn't. Now, the odds are now that she's going to turn around and she's going to say, yeah, you know, I had a good time, but you're a nice guy, but that's the goal. And now the reason why I say to guys that's the goal is because once you realize that this is your goal, it then colors the way you engage with the date. If you realize that your goal is either to take her home or she's a good girl and she's not going to do that on the first date, great. But for her to go home and to fantasize about what she didn't allow herself to do during the date, how will you be looking at her in the date? How will you be laughing and joking with her? How will you be touching her? What conversational topics will you guys be discussing? If sex comes up on the date now, are you going to shy away from it because you don't want to demean her because she's a good girl? Or are you going to lean into it and help to create that sexual spark and that fun vibe between you? So that's something I will say to guys. Your goal is to either take her home or to, yeah, give her such a good time that she can't hold herself back when she gets home.
Yeah, and I would tell the listeners out there, rather overdo it, rather push it to the extreme. Because most of you guys, as I said, with a physical escalation, they don't do things as extreme as they think they're doing them. You know, it's like this presentations in school back in the days. You held a presentation and you thought you're speaking with your arms, you know, as they taught you in school, or expressing yourself while you're, talking about this topic. And the teacher later, after the presentation ended, said, oh, actually, you weren't doing anything with your arms. There was no body language. You were just reading down, basically, the book you were talking about or whatever. And you were in your head, were like, oh, I did it anyway so much. But if you record yourself, and this is another way to go, you will see the truth. You will see, hey, I'm actually not, I'm not overdoing it actually as I thought I will do. I give the tips to guys rather overdo, because overdoing in real life actually is, you think you're hearing this extreme, but actually you're pretty much in the middle. Your head is always much more, especially if you're as we humans live very, as you said as well, a black guy, I hope I fit into the society, you know, your brain is very much of, I hope I'm invisible, I hope as I'm as invisible as much as possible, and our heads think like this way. So don't do everything to the extreme, and actually things you think in your head you're doing extreme you overdo it is actually not the case, you know, I would say.
Yeah. Another thing I would say actually is that something I found when it comes to women and dating is it's better to be extreme in her eyes than not. So what I mean is this, it's, you know, like, let's say this. So you got a man who's on a date and he doesn't want the woman to hate him, right? So as a result, he plays it safe. So he talks about safe topics. He acts in a safe manner because he doesn't want to be offensive. But the thing is, if we assume that being offensive is like being 0 or 1 out of 10, and playing it safe is like a 5 or a 6, and being the guy who she absolutely adores is like being a 9 or a 10. It's, she isn't going to get with the guy who plays it safe. Like, she's not. She's going to have an okay time, but she is very rarely going to end up with this man. Maybe when she's older and she settles for that man. The truth is, you have a much better chance of getting with her by being polarizing and being someone who she either really loves or doesn't like very much. As long as you're not doing anything, let's say, disrespectful or touching her in ways that she doesn't want to or things like this. But being polarizing is way better. If you're messaging a woman on an app, it's better to be polarizing and say something that she might either love or hate than to play it safe and then actually bore her, you know? So that's something I would say about that as well.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say as well, but you put it more into words than what I did. But yeah, I totally agree.
All right, man, so I think this might be a good place to end it, but is there anything else you wanted to say before we wrap this up?
No, nothing. I just hope the listeners could really gain much value out of this. And yeah, we could talk endlessly about this topic, how to have the perfect date. You know, it would take us, I don't know, like maybe 5 hours, 7 hours.
Both
are very passionate about this. So yeah.
Yeah, well, we should do it again. You know, let's do it again.
Yeah, sure, man. Yeah, sure. And I think it's a good kickstart, you know, for guys who listen to this. How to behave on dates, what to do, and yeah.
All right, but
there will be girls. Yeah.
Sorry, carry on.
No, I mean to just quickly go back. There will be girls, because I'm sure guys will comment like, yeah, but there are girls I find a common ground with because they talk more than some girls, where I have to be the man basically initiating the conversation and not the one laid back and just listening to her. So I know this will already pop up in the comments. So I wanted to, get into this before we end it. To those guys, what I can say is, yeah, there are different kind of personalities, different kind of girls. One, there are girls who really talk too much, where you're just really exhausted as a man and you can't, be laid back and just passively listening to her. And just nod with your head, or maybe parroting is also a very good move to do. If she, for example, she mentions something and you're like, oh, Morocco. And she will continue because she is a person who talks much, who likes to express herself way better than, for example, maybe a more introverted girl where you have to, always come up with another thread, basically, or being the active part in the conversation. And I can say to guys as well, there will be never a date where the girl is taking over, because there's a big misconception in the dating community back in the days where coaches said like, first, or find a girl where you have to just bring in 10% and she's doing 90% because that's a good date. This will never happen in real life, you know, that you just don't do anything. And you just, just lying on the couch and she will talk 90% of the time. So it's always like majority, first of all, you have to talk, and then it will sooner or later go to 50-50, basically. And this is what a natural conversation should be and look like. And to the other thing, where you have to initiate, the next thread, basically open up a new topic to those guys, I can advise, have something in your back sleeves, like topics you can bring on those dates, you know.
Yeah, very true. And you know what, something you just said to me was so true. You just said, oh, in a lot of like mainstream dating, they say things like, yeah, the woman would do 90% of the talking and you do 10%. And it's like, where do these people get that bullshit from? Like, where?
Exactly, yeah.
I have never... The only time that has ever happened is if I really, really, really know the girl. Like, if she really, really, really knows me. Yeah, fine, that can happen. For instance, my girlfriend, if I was to go out with her, yes, she can then start talking and talking and talking and talking and talking about something. That happens a lot.
Mm.
But that didn't happen on the first date or the second.
Exactly,
the first one was me making her feel comfortable and warming her up to the idea and the concept of being around me. And that's what it's been like with on every date I've ever had. So when people come out with that crap, it's like, you know, like, where are they getting it from? Really? So,
As I said, many people or majority of those coaches, they don't live that life. They're not about that life, you know. And I don't know where they read this shit, but they don't live it for sure. Because I can tell you, we can tell you guys out there that it's not true. It's not the case.
No, it's not. But anyway, for the man who's listening, who likes the sound of everything you've said today, where's he going to go to find out more about you, maybe sign up for your coaching, things like that?
Yeah, check my Facebook, Pat Veiled Intentions, or YouTube Veiled Intentions. Yeah, I want to be very humble. It's not my podcast, it's your podcast. So, yeah.
No, don't worry. I'm all about sharing the love. So if you pick up a couple of extra clients from this, that's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, as I said, like, guys can find me on those platforms and as well Telegram group, Veiled Intentions. And yeah, man, it was very nice to be on your podcast. And yeah.
All right, brilliant.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
And there you have it. Subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you found it on and write us a nice review if you can too.
Also, do you have a question for us to answer? If so, send it to speakpipe.com/eliteconnectionspodcast. And finally, contact Kieran for coaching through the link in the description. He's actually a competent coach.
Thanks, Electra.
See, I can be nice.
Bye-bye, listener.
Praise Skynet.